Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our message this morning is our Old Testament reading from Isaiah chapter 62. In verse 11, again, it says this: Behold, Yahweh has proclaimed to the end of the earth, say to the daughter of Zion, Behold, your salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him. This is our text. Well, here we all are here. It's Christmas Day, a holiday, which means a most holy day. As we heard the angels proclaim it last night, this is the day in which peace has now come on earth, filled with goodwill toward men. This is the day we've been waiting for, the culmination of so much attention for so many weeks. And now it's happened. God has fulfilled his promise through the prophet Isaiah. Behold, your salvation comes. Yes, my dear Christians, our salvation has come. For you and me, here in the year of our Lord, 2024, it's been 4 weeks, maybe more, depending on when you decided to start shopping. For Mary and Joseph, it was 9 months of waiting. For God's people Israel, at the time of Isaiah in our text, it was hundreds, you could say even thousands of years. But Mary delivered. In fact, God delivered on his promise. The angels promised it, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, God's Messiah, Christ the Lord. Did you have any doubts? Do you wonder if God would actually come? Certainly Israel must have wondered. They knew God's word, of course, with his promises, but too often, for them, it seemed hopelessly out of step with the realities of their world, even with their life as God's special people. It wasn't supposed to be this way. Isaiah had begun his great vision in chapter 2 of his book, describing the way that it should end. Nations coming to Zion, a city set on a hill, raised up by the power and presence, by the peace and the promise of God. A city sought out by all the world. But the reality, oh, so different. Here in Isaiah's day, the nations came to Zion, all right. They came to destroy. They came to plunder. And not because they were so rich with earthly treasure. Those days were long gone. It may have been true in the days of David, especially with Solomon in all of his glory. That was when the nations truly sought them out. Even the Queen of Sheba came. But that was then. This was now. The Assyrians had already destroyed the north and decimated the south. And just when the Israelites thought it couldn't get any worse, Jerusalem was captured, the temple utterly destroyed, and almost all of them were carried off into captivity and exile. They were lost, pitiful slaves. No one would ever be seeking them out. That's ridiculous. And what was worse is that this was no accident. They were actually the victims of their own foolishness, sinfulness, and selfishness. Utterly hopeless and helpless. There was nothing they could do. Whatever they did try to do, it only made the situation worse. So, Merry Christmas! Well, yes, I'm thinking for them. You guys, if you want to be as utterly hopeless as them, that's fine. I'll say Merry Christmas to you! And it was, though. And it is. Hear this. Isaiah was told to say to God's people in that state, Listen up! Help is on its way! There is a future, not by anything you can do, but by the hands of God. Okay, the actual words of our text. Behold, your salvation comes. You see, what is so special, so glorious, so wonderful about Christmas is that we are faced with God's reality, His response to what really matters, His response to the deep, even the darkest realities of this world. I don't mean to take anything away from the peace and joy, even the gifts and the goodies that adorn the celebration of this day. But let's also make sure that we understand the profound truth here in this text from God's holy word. We, along with the entire world, we are lost, entirely forsaken, even more abandoned. Try as hard as we might, any and all of our attempts cannot ever save us. They only make matters worse. And yet Isaiah comes bursting into this day with his prophetic voice. Behold, your salvation comes. You are in fact sought out, not forsaken. Here in our world, we also wonder if it's supposed to be this way. God's people hardly seem special, holy, or set apart. Certainly, we are not sought after as having something most people in our world want. It only seems to increase every day that true believers, when our faith becomes public, are treated with disrespect and disdain. Isaiah described the land of Israel and Judah as desolate and deserted. No one was left. And worse, no one even cared. There was no one to rescue them, no one to ransom them, no one to seek them out. Or so it seemed. You know, there is only one thing even worse than being lost: knowing that no one is looking for you. Through the years, we have heard stories of tragic losses like this: coal miners trapped, children wandering off that can't be found, elderly folks fallen and suffering in their own homes, sometimes for days or weeks, not missed by anyone. You remember that great Christmas movie, Castaway? Most people don't realize it's a Christmas movie. 1 minute, Tom Hanks' character is anticipating a special Christmas. And the next, he is lost. Cast away on an island that no one will ever find. For a while, he actually assumes someone will be coming to rescue him. And then he realizes that no one will. He is forsaken, left for dead, even declared dead. He is not sought after. Even surrounded by people, you and I know the feeling of being forsaken and all alone. Our lives are out of our own control. So many things happening and no one to help. Even on Christmas Day, so many people are all alone. In fact, today, for many, the loneliness feels like it is at its worst. The holidays just kind of mask it over, but come tomorrow, the problems are still there. And yes, we know the feeling: forsaken, forlorn, deserted, no longer desired. You don't have to lose your job to know the deep concern of uncertainty. And boy, do we know it. We live in highly uncertain times. It can be lonely at the bottom. It can be lonely at the top. Look, ours is a society that generates loneliness. Have you ever realized that? We are an independent people. We fight to be independent. We don't want anyone to have to do anything for us. And so our families are fractured. True friends are few, which is just as well, because, hey, we don't have time for anything but the necessities. And even the basics of home and job and wage, including the food and clothes that they buy, are hardly secure. Our children, the next generation, are actually looking for community. But they are afraid of relationships. And folks, we often aren't teaching them how to trust others. We're teaching them not to trust others. Interacting constantly on social media and video games in front of their best friend, the screen. They are completely alone and often feeling frustrated. Our world tells us to take care of ourselves first. And yet we find that it can be quite lonely by oneself. Isaiah knew these feelings of being forsaken all alone. He was God's prophet. And it was very lonely in the middle for him. Few people listened to his words of warning. Even fewer listened to his words of hope. And yet, in the midst of what should have been the darkest despair, Isaiah speaks God's clear words of hope and comfort. Looking ahead, just as we have done throughout the Advent season, Isaiah sees and he proclaims that God's salvation is coming. Remember, you're lost. We're all lost in our old sin-filled nature. And just when we have given up hope, when we've recognized that no one is looking, seeking, or coming to find us, once we are resigned even to die, you suddenly realize that someone is coming. And that's the absolute truth of this day. We are being sought out. We are not forsaken because our salvation has come. In a baby, in a manger, in a town called Bethlehem, for the world. Friends, that today includes you, and you, and you, and you. And consider how it is that he came, to whom he came, to those who were alone and forsaken, a people sitting in darkness and despair, who knew the worst loneliness of being separated from God. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 assures us, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Many of us know the feeling when we're all alone or grieving or feeling hopeless and someone comes to help, maybe just sits with us, shows concern, friendship and love. And we realize we are no longer alone. Or maybe home alone with all of those problems, and then the phone rings. A friend calls just to visit. They're surprised you answered the phone because our world has taught us not to answer the phone. But you did, and it's a friend to visit. Someone comes to help, and loneliness goes away. So it is, friends, that Jesus came to earth, to you and to me. And he came to us from heaven above to earth. He searched out the helpless, the homeless, the forsaken, the deserted, the no longer desired. Jesus came to earth, not just for you, not just for me, but to this entire world. Verse 12 assures us of this. He came and sought us out, the forsaken ones, and he gave us a new name. A sought-after name, a name that means sought out. A city no longer forsaken. Seems a little odd that that's our name, but that's our name. A city no longer forsaken. He came to rescue and redeem us from ourselves, from our own sinful destruction. He came to be with us, to take our place as the lost and forsaken ones. He found us, and in doing so, he lost his life. He loved us even as he cried out that God had forsaken him. He died so that you and I might live. He rose from the dead in victory so that you and I might live in victory as well. He opened the way of eternal life, a highway to God, so that we might be with Him forever. Hebrews 13, verse 5 gives us this assurance: I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do you get what that means for us? We will never, ever, ever be alone. Not in the life to come, and not in our life here and now on earth either. But there's more. Not only has He sought us out, but He has made us something to be sought out by others. Shepherds came to see this thing that had come to pass. Wise men traveled afar to come to seek Him out. Isaiah tells us that we have another new name. It's kind of odd when you think about it. Jesus is born, a new baby, and we are the ones that get the name. Verse 12, and they, that's us, we are the reward. They shall be called the holy people, the redeemed of Yahweh. And you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. There's four names. Sign that on your check the next time. But imagine that. Even in our world, we Christians have something that others need. We are sought out. They are seeking what we already have. They may not know it. They may not realize it. But we do. Sometimes they actually do seek us out. More often, though, we need to go to them. But they see it. They see it in our lives. They see it in our hearts. They see it in our eyes and on our lips. We've got a confidence that they crave after. We know God's salvation. It is for all nations to seek, to know, and to come to know. It's God's plan that it works like this. The plan and purpose of God who has come to earth, who came to seek and to save the lost. The angels made it clear. The child who is born is a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. We know this truth, God's truth. We know God's reality. Things may not seem as they appear. We know God is real. God is with us. We are not lost, after all. We are not deserted. We are not alone. We are God's special redeemed people. Jesus has made you and you and you and you and you God's holy person. Christmas has finally come. Christ the Savior is born to seek you out, for your salvation has come in Him. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds and keep you in our Lord Jesus today and forever. Amen.